Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that we're able to be together again. And if you're a new listener, welcome. I believe it's by the Spirit of the Lord you just happened to tune in, and we pray that you will be blessed and inspired and encouraged by the Spirit of the Lord. On yesterday's broadcast, I began a message which I've entitled Restoring Hope. Some of you listening this week really need to have your hope restored. And we were looking at a chapter in the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, where I shared with you verses 11 through 15, some very beautiful expressions of God's love and concern for His people. Now, at this point in time, these people, the Jews, they had been taken to Babylon in captivity. And actually, these were the obedient ones, because the word of the Lord came through Jeremiah that they should be willing to surrender, to go. And these were the obedient ones, and yet the Lord spoke to them that it was because of their sins. Verse 15, "Why criest thou for thine afflictions? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things to thee." And when we look at perhaps the American church making applicable today, there are wonderful leaders, wonderful pastors, Christians that are so on fire. But beloved, there's a whole lot more that are lukewarm. There's apostasy, false teaching going forth from manifold pulpits. And beloved, we need not only to hear the word of the Lord, but we have to really identify and connect with the Spirit of God, because it's the Spirit of Christ that will give revelation and understanding to the word of God. You know, you can just quote the word of God and be extremely legalistic. That's what the Pharisees did. But God is wanting us to draw close to Him. And even though there had to be some in this number that were, well, look, Daniel, my goodness, and the Hebrew children, there were those who were wholeheartedly serving God. They loved God, but they were part of Israel's fate. Why? Because, beloved, even though you might be on fire for God right now, you might feel, well, these words don't apply to me, but we bear the sin of our nation, if you'll hear me, because, and I'm speaking now generally, I'm not speaking individually, but notice when Daniel prayed or Nehemiah prayed, he confessed the sins and the sins of his father. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, like sheep, have gone astray. And so because as Christians as a whole, we haven't done all that God would have had us do, we've become preoccupied. And I know we're in warfare, but things come up and we're just distracted, and we are not praying and fasting and seeking the face of God. It's quite simple. I mean, 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin." He's talking to the church, "and heal their land." Do we see healing at this point in our land? Praise God. I believe with the intercession and the prayers of God's people. I know there's been a prayer group started at the local church where I'm going. It's very small, but we are in such one accord, and there's a powerful anointing. We need to be praying as never before. So yes, in terms of what I said, yes, the church as a whole bears responsibility for the state of where America is in. And you say, Sister Glass, you're just putting a guilt trip on me. No, you just need to understand the scriptures, because the prophets, Moses, all of them, they stood as intercessors saying that they assume the burden of the people. And of course, none of us are without sin personally. And so, beloved, even though these people in Babylon, the Jews, were at least those that were willing in heart, because Jeremiah had said, allow yourself to be carried. That was God's will for them. Some were probably taken forcibly, but nonetheless, this was God speaking to them. In verse 12, it says, they were wounded. Thy bruise is incurable. Listen to this. And thy wound is grievous. Israel was finding out what it meant to let their hearts rebel against the living God. Heart rebellion, beloved, brings a gash, a tear, a wound in our moral being. And this is true whether it's an individual or a nation. That's why our nation is bleeding to death spiritually. We have forsaken the God of our forefathers. It is dread. I mean, to listen to the evening news, it's heart-wrenching. And now, I'm up in years, and some of you listening, I know you're up in years, and we just can't reminisce about the good old times, the good old days, but I will declare 50 years ago, there was not the outpouring of filth and perversity and violence and crime and degradation and corruption that we see today. And of course, I mean, those who have lived, you know, born in the 40s, 50s, 30s, 40s, 50s, it was a different era then. And why? Because we are in the end of times. And we are seeing by God's plan of providence, you know, is back in the 47, Israel became a nation. We are seeing prophecy fulfilled before our eyes. So yes, there's an increase in wickedness. That's exactly what Paul told Timothy. In the last days, perilous times shall come. And so as a nation, we've rebelled against God, and we've been wounded, grievously wounded, as well as in our own personal lives. Our own lack of submission, our own rebellion has caused grievous wounds. Now let's read verse 13. There is none to plead thy cause that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. God says, there's no one to help you out. There's no man, no nation, no king, no warrior was there to plead their cause. And how often we find ourselves feeling like we have no one. Some of you listening to me right now, you might feel that way. Oh, you might have family, you've got friends, but way down deep inside, you feel such a loneliness. Sometimes when we fail God, when we say in our hearts, well, I'm not going to serve you with all of my heart. We're so lonely. Oh, we might not say that expressly, but our spirit man, you know, we postpone it. We give excuses. We may not outright directly say, Lord, I don't want to serve you with all of my heart. Of course not. But our actions reflect it. And beloved, we're so lonely. Why? Because God's spirit is grieved. He's dealing with us. He's wanting to draw us back to the sweetness of the fellowship we once knew. Our wives might try to help our husbands, our children, friends. But when we have let our service, our worship, and our praise become like brass, we make an untrue sound like brass, and we become a tinkling cymbal. You remember that quotation in 1 Corinthians 13? Paul was speaking of love. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And that's not just our brotherly love. That's our love, or agape love even. It's our love toward God. What is our relation toward the Lord as? And if we are not genuine and sincere in our love for God, we become like brass, beloved. There are Christians, and then there are Christians. You've probably found that out. True Christians, and Christians by name only. Satan, the enemy of our souls, is a great master of confusion. He loves to confound and bring confusion and bring doubt and fears when life's important questions have to be decided upon. And beloved, that's the worst time to make decisions, when you're in a place of unrest spiritually, when you're not where you should be. should be. Beloved, we need the wisdom of God in the decisions we make. And someone's listening right now. You need to make some major decisions. Let's pause right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see those who need the very wisdom of God. Father, Lord, you see their heart is being pricked, and they're confessing, Lord, that before you, that they've not been in the place they need to be. But Father, we're so grateful that if we repent and turn to you, that you will make a way for us. You will restore us to sweet, intimate fellowship. If we confess our sins, Lord, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Father, I'm asking you to do that right now to every person who is praying, not only those that need to face a major decision in their lives, but those that are know that they have, they're nodding, that they know in their spirit, they're witnessing that God is wanting to draw them closer. And so, Father, thank you for forgiving our sins. We repent and turn away from our own self-will and our self-ways. And we ask you to lead us, Lord, in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Amen and amen. Praise God. Beloved, as we look to Israel, they were in a terrible situation. They had been, their country had been ransacked. They were off under in the bondage and captivity of a foreign nation. And beloved, sometimes we feel that way, and Satan can put his snares around us. But if we will walk in repentance, if we will walk in humility, God will deliver us. He was preparing his people, even in those 70 years, a generation to be able to go back and rebuild the temple. And that's what God's wanting for us. We can rebuild that temple of worship and praise by a wholehearted commitment to him. Praise God. Well, I'm still hardly gotten into the message. I invite you to tune in tomorrow. And also, if you have areas that you're struggling with, you know, there's power in agreeing prayer. Don't try to go it alone. You may have no one you can really talk to or pray to in this matter. And know that I will personally take your prayer request to the Lord. I alone read the letters, and I will pray for you, send back whatever God gives, which I know will be a blessing. The announcer will give our contact information. I so appreciate you joining me today. I so look forward to this time together. I love you. I pray for you daily. Thank you for your prayerful support also, as well as your financial help. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.